Welcome to today's study. Today's study is entitled, While I Live, and it will be found in Psalm 146. Before we go into this study tonight, let us go to God in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you so much for another day that you've given us, that we can study your word, that we can worship you today. Father, we pray for all of us as we go together in this study that everything will be beneficial to us, and most of all, that it will be pleasing to you. Father, we pray that as we study your word throughout our lives, that we will always look to you for guidance and strength. Father, we pray and we ask for forgiveness at this time of our sins. Please help us to not yield to temptation, but to always look to your word when we are tempted. Father, we thank you for Jesus, making it possible that we can talk to you and through prayer, and that you talk to us through your word. Father, we pray and we ask all of this through the name and the authority of Jesus. Amen. So as we consider this, the while I live, this topic as in Psalm 146, there are many things in this life that we make plans to do. Perhaps with this COVID-19, maybe before this all started, maybe you had a trip that you were planning on. Maybe it was some sort of event that you were wanting to go on. Or maybe you were wanting to go on vacation somewhere. But plans changed. We think about this and we think about whenever we plan to do something, while I live, but while I live, what will I actually do? Will I actually follow through with those plans? We plan many things. We've planned many things even before this. All of this is going on. We plan things such as building something that we never really got around to. But what will I actually do? Something that is even a more important question is, while I live, what am I supposed to do? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 146 gives three things that we are supposed to do, that we really should do while we live. Number one, while I live, I must praise the Lord. Number two, while I live, I must not trust in man. And number three, while I live, I must be happy with the Lord. Let us consider the first point, and let us consider these three things that we must do while we live. First of all, while we live, while I live, I will praise the Lord. In Psalm 146, in verse 1, it begins by saying, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul! While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." This point that is made here, you think about this. It says in verse 1 that how that my soul must praise the Lord. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 31, whatever I do in life, I must bring glory to God. In verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." This point that Paul makes here is something that everyone should remember. Everyone should think about when they are tempted. When they are tempted to do evil, they should ask themselves, does this glorify God? Does this bring glory to God, or does this bring pleasure only to me? This is the question that we must ask ourselves throughout life, because he says there that everything that we do, no matter what it is, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. This is what we are to do. My soul must praise the Lord. As you think about this, think about what Mary said in Luke chapter 1 in verses 46 and 47. She begins that song of Mary, and I must magnify the Lord. There she says, and she brings forth that quote, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." My soul magnifies the Lord. Think of this. You think about the sun, and can the sun set something on fire? Perhaps if it is dry enough, if it's under the certain situation, certain circumstances, Maybe it may set something on fire if it is hot enough of a day and dry enough of a ground. But you think about if you had a magnifying glass and you took that light from the sun and brought it down and magnified it to a certain spot and stayed there for a while, eventually whatever you are trying to burn there with that will set on fire. Well, that's what we are supposed to be. We, our souls, are to be magnifiers of God. We are to magnify God's light, God's power. We're not supposed to be powerful in and of ourselves. You think about a magnifying glass. A magnifying glass is worthless without the one using it, because otherwise it would just sit there on a table or a desk or something. You think about this. We must magnify the Lord throughout our lives. Our praises must be to the Lord. But also in verse 2 of our reading in Psalm 146, it speaks about how that my song must be toward the Lord. How that it says in verse 2, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This point that is made here by the psalmist. The Psalms are filled with praises of the Lord God, to the Lord God. In Psalm 9, verse 11, it talks about singing praises to God. In Psalm 27, in verse 6, singing praises to the Lord. In Psalm 68, in verse 32, once again, singing praises to the Lord. All throughout the Psalms, it speaks of praising God. And many of them speak of that. How much should we consider when we praise the Lord? How important really is it to praise the Lord? If out of 150 psalms, there are many of them that are praise psalms. Well, think of this. When we sing hymns of praise to God, are our hearts centered on God rather than ourselves? We must think of this, and we must consider our souls and our minds and our hearts when we praise God. When we are singing a praise hymn to God, are we thinking about God? Are we thinking about what He has done for us? Are we thinking about how much He has loved us and how much we should love Him? Or are we thinking about maybe what we're going to eat that afternoon? Or are we going to be thinking about, well, what am I going to be doing tomorrow? What am I going to do at work tomorrow? What am I going to do at school tomorrow? What are we thinking about when we sing praises to God? It is that important. We must sing, and our song must be toward the Lord. So, first of all, the psalmist here in Psalm 146 gives this example that while I live, I will praise the Lord. But secondly, he gives in verses 3 through 4 this idea that while I live, I will not trust in man. In Psalm 146, in verse 3 beginning, it says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. This point that he makes here is, number one, first of all, in verse 3, man is helpless. He talks about that there is no help in man, that in the Son of Man there is no help. Well, you think of this. Politics, first of all, are helpless. I'm not making this into a political speech or anything like that, but it says right here that in verse 3, do not put your trust in princes. That's politics in some ways. In some ways, that's how it is. When we trust in someone so much that that's all we trust in. We don't trust in God. We don't trust in the church. We don't trust in Christ. We only get to trust in those people. Those people will fail, and we will be disappointed because we put our trust in them. But think of this. Any man is helpless because that man, they have no power. They do not have the power of God. Only God is powerful enough to be trusted completely in. Because any man can fall. Any person in this world can fall. We can trust people now. We can trust people to a certain extent. We may be able to trust them with certain things that we have, maybe parts of our livelihood. Maybe we can trust even our family members, but we cannot trust them as much as we can trust God. Because no matter how much that person, that loved one may love us and we may love them, the fact is they are sinful as much as you or I am sinful. This is how it is. God is not sinful, and He is able to be trusted in. So also, not only is man helpless, but in verse 4 it speaks of how the man is perishable. The physical man will return to the dust. It speaks of that in this text, but also in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19 is where God was giving Adam, the first man, these things that was going to happen to him after he gave in to temptation. He said that from dust you came and to dust you shall go. Meaning that he came from dust, but when he dies, he will go back to that dust. This point that is made here, it means that man is just perishable. You think about a flower. And if you were to pick a flower and you were to put it in a vase, and you are to water it every day. You may even put it in dirt in the vase, and it may start to grow again, but at some point, that flower will fade away. That flower will wither and go away. Man is just like a flower. We sing the song as the life of a flower, and that song ends with the phrase, "We must die." This is what we are. We are here for just a short time. We come into this world and we leave this world after just a few years. I'm not saying a physical few years, but it just feels like a few years here compared to eternity. And that's what we are. We are just this fleshly body, but we are so much more. We are so much more because we have a soul. And what we do here in this flesh will reflect where we go in eternity. We have two choices in that. In the day that a man dies, his plans cease. You think about how many plans have come and gone due to an illness, due to even death. You think about this, man's plans coming to pass is only by the will of God. If you were to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4, in verse 13... James chapter 4 and verse 13 talks about this plan, how that God, only by the will of God do plans actually come to pass. In James 4 in verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a short time, for a little time, and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." This point that James makes, he says that we are here for just a short time. We are like that morning dew, that it comes in the morning, and it comes and it maybe makes your shoes wet or something like that for just a moment, and then it vanishes away. It leaves just to reappear the next day. It is gone forever for that day. You think about this, this is our life. It just appears for a short time, but then vanishes away. Man is perishable. That is why, while I live, I will not trust in man, as the psalmist put it. But as we consider these three points, we've seen how that the psalmist talked about that while I live, I will praise the Lord. But also we saw that while I live, I will not trust in man. But thirdly and lastly, the psalmist puts it as this, while I live, I will be happy with the Lord God. In verse 5 of our reading, in Psalm 146, it begins back up by saying this, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, So the first part of verse 5 says that our help is in God. We are nothing without God's help. We as humans, we many times need help. We may have our pride and we may not want help, but at some point in our lives, we will need help. But most of all, we need God's help because we are nothing without God's help. Without God's help, man's strength would not exist and no one would be living because no heart would beat, no lung would take in oxygen, and everything as we know it would not exist without God's power, without God's perfect help. God watches over us. In Matthew chapter 6, in verses 25 through 34, we will not read all of this, but we will read just a few verses. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 25 beginning, he says there this way, Jesus here says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" And then he would go on to say in verse 31, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Here, Jesus gives this, he has this opportunity to teach about not worrying. Whenever we worry about these things, we must realize that God watches over us. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things, what we eat, what we drink, and what we wear, will be added to us. It may not be a life of luxury many times. It may not be a life of just easy way, because many times throughout our lives, as he would go on to say in chapter 7, that it will be hard, the narrow way, as he says in Matthew chapter 7. Well, this is what we are. We are someone in need of help, and God watches over us because we are his chosen people, his chosen creation. He watches over mankind even more than the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals that we see, all of the lilies of the valley, all of the lilies of the field, and the grass. He watches over those, but so much more us as his chosen people, as his chosen creation, mankind. This is what it is. Our help is in God, first of all, but secondly, in the next part of verse 5 of Psalm 146, our hope is in God. In the last part of verse 5, we'll read verse 5, it says, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." So our hope is in God. Because of the steadfast love of God, we have hope in him. If you would turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 in verse 22. As we know, Lamentations is somewhat of a sad book, but it gives hope here. It gives perfect hope because of the hope that only God can give. In chapter 3 of Lamentations in verse 22, it says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." In this verse, in this text, Jeremiah, he gives this idea that we are to hope in God because the steadfast love of the Lord, as some other versions say in verse 22, will never cease. His mercies endure forever. So we must consider our lives. We must consider God's hope that He gives us, that He is that perfect hope. So without hope, there is no purpose to life. And with God as our hope, we are not to live without Him. Because if we live without God, if we live as if God was not, then we live without hope. And that is one of the saddest lives that could ever be. This is the way that it is. Our hope is in God. Our help is in God. But in verse 6 of our reading of Psalm 146, our happiness is in God. Verse 6 begins up by saying, "Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them?" We see that there is happiness with God's creation, that we are to have happiness with God's creation, the earth, the living things that we see. God's creation is so beautiful. We can go all around this world. We can go all throughout this universe and we can see the beauty. We can see the majesty of God. We can see the Creator's fingerprints all over this universe. The beautiful stars that twinkle in the night. The beautiful sunset as it sets on the horizon. The beautiful grass, the beautiful trees. And it goes on and on and on. We can find happiness in God's creation. But also in the next part of verse 6, it says, "Who keeps truth forever." We can find happiness with God's trustworthiness. He is trustworthy, more trustworthy than anyone on this earth, in this lifetime. God is perfect, and He can be trusted in, as we talked about a moment ago. But also in verse 7, we are to find happiness. We can find happiness with God's righteous judgment. In verse 7, it says, "Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners." He is the righteous judge. We think about our judgment here on this earth. And many times there are people who are wrongfully accused, who are wrongfully put into prison even, for something that they did not do. The judge, whoever was judging them, made a bad judgment. But with God, He does not make bad judgments. He has everything. He has the righteous judgment. He is the righteous judge, and He will judge righteously in that. So we consider this, but in verse 8, we can find happiness with God's love. In verse 8 of Psalm 146, it says, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, He turns upside down." We see here that our happiness with God's love can be found many ways. He opens the eyes of the blind. He helps the fatherless and the widows. And He does all of these things for mankind. You may say there at the last part where it says, "But the way of the wicked He turns upside down," you may say, "Well, that's not loving." But is it? He doesn't. He gives us chance after chance. He gives the evil ones, which all of us in a way are evil because all have sinned. He gives us chance after chance to follow Him, to stop following Satan and to turn and follow God completely. He gives us chance after chance. You can see that in the Old Testament. You can see that in the New Testament, and especially with Christ on the cross. At that moment, that's a whole other lesson that we can think about. But Christ on the cross is the perfect example of God's mercy to mankind. So you see, with this, with the happiness that we are to have, lastly in verse 10, we can find happiness with God's everlasting reign. It says in verse 10, "The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." This point, this is a praise a praise psalm. As you can see, it begins with the words, praise the Lord, and it ends with the words, praise the Lord. We can find happiness with God's everlasting reign because we can be there as servants of the Most High God. We can be there with Him, seeing Him as King, ruling and reigning forever and ever. We can be there if we only follow God, if we follow Him. So, while I live, what am I to do? We've seen that we are to praise the Lord. We've seen that we are to not trust in man. And we've also seen that we are to be happy with the Lord God. In this life, we must obey God's commands. We must glorify God in everything that we do. That is what we are to do. Have you been doing those things? While you live, what will you do? Will you serve your own lust, your own pleasures and have a good life here, but torments to look forward to in the afterlife? This life that we can think about in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about the narrow way and the broad way. And it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction. That way, it's an easy way. It's the way that we can have pleasure on earth. Satan will tell us that whatever we do, it's okay. We don't have to follow God's commands. Those things are just so hard. Those things, we don't need that because we'll be all right. But in the end, what do we have to look forward to? We have torments to look forward to. And then, what else would you do? While you live, will you serve your own pleasures or will you serve God and have a peaceful life that has been promised to us here, but also in the afterlife? Will you serve God and have a peaceful life? This peaceful life here, it's not going to be easy at all times, but we can have peace knowing that our soul's salvation is set. It is set with the blood of Christ. And we can follow, if we follow God, we will have that home with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and with all of the saints who have gone on before us. We can have that home with them in heaven, in everlasting peace. So which will you choose? While you live, what will you do? I hope that this study tonight has been beneficial, that we have studied and that we have been able to pick something up from the psalmist and from God's Word. I hope that you will seriously consider that your life and that we all will consider our lives as we go throughout this lifetime and we will serve God. May God bless you and have a blessed day.